I'm Corey Thomas, writer of the play Lockdown. This episode of Ear Hustle contains explicit language. Please be advised this may not be for every listener. Discretion is advised.
Can you show Nigel the two signs you showed me today?
Right?
Really?
Did I get it?
That's the sign for bullshit.
You think I'm not going to learn that one right away?
But well, everyone
I was
know.
All thinking ear hustle, right?
It teaches that. How do you do the ear hustle sign?
Grab your ear, make an H, and go twice.
Well, the H is just like this.
H.
Oh.
Ear hustle. That's the sign for the day.
You are now tuned in to Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I am Rahsaan New York Thomas, a resident of San Quentin State Prison in California.
And I'm Nigel Poor. I've been working with the guys here at San Quentin for about 8 years now.
And together, we're going to answer some of your questions.
Hey, Ear Hustle.
My name is Duha from L.A.
This is Angel from Orlando,
this
Florida.
Is Anne from Madison,
Avon,
Wisconsin.
Colorado. Scotland.
Melbourne, Australia.
Bay Area.
Rocksville.
Munich, in Germany.
Chevy Chase.
This is our Catch a Kite episode, where we answer listeners' questions. And FYI, a kite is slang for notes passed around in prison.
And you know, when I went to reception to record for our first episode this season, I actually saw kites flying all over the tier, like these little birds. They were going by so fast, I wasn't even sure what I was seeing.
Those weren't kites, Nod. Those were just regular notes going up. And the kites have these little tiny writing, and they're small, and you can't see them. They just get around the prison by magic.
The writing's so small you can't see it?
It disappears like a secret agent.
Well, tiny writing. I love that. But in any case, we asked you listeners to record a question and email it to us, and we got a lot of them, at least 100. So thanks to everyone who sent one in.
We're going to answer a few of the ones about life inside with help from guys on the yard and some dudes who came down to the studio to be part of the conversation.
And then I'm going to get with our other co-host, Erlon Woods, on the outside to answer a few more questions about life post-incarceration.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Ear Hustle.
Hey, Ear Hustle team.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Molly. I live in Atlanta, but I'm originally from Oakland. And my question is whether it's hard to sleep in prison with the noise or the temperature, and whether you all take naps during the day.
Thanks, Molly. New York, I don't know about you, but since this podcast started, I hardly sleep. And so how's your sleep these days?
Actually, I'm not sleeping all that well, Naj, but that's nothing to do with the podcast.
Oh, really?
It's just hot, and my mattress is part of the punishment. But in San Quentin, your ability to sleep soundly depends not only on your mattress or the temperature, but also on where you're housed.
Mm-hmm.
You have cell blocks, and then you have dorm living.
Yeah, this is a big topic of conversation here. Which is better, cell living or dorm living? In New York, you live in a cell, and does the noise there keep you from sleeping?
It's pretty quiet in North Block until about 3 a.m. That's when you hear the clack-clack of gates racking so the kitchen workers can get released to head to the kitchen.
Ugh, 3 a.m., that is early.
Heck early.
Oh, God. And like, do you hear anything else at night?
Yeah, sometimes you hear guys yelling, man down. So what happens if there's an emergency? Mm-hmm. Guys will start yelling, man down, cell 582 or whatever cell it is. And other guys are joining and erupt into like a chorus. Ooh. Until the SEALs all the way down up front and at the podium can hear us and respond and get the guy some help.
Mm. Okay, so back to cell living versus dorm living. There's no choice in the matter. Some guys are assigned to cells and other guys to dorms. So New York, can you explain why that is?
So usually what they do is guys that have under 10 years left to serve on their sentence, mm-hmm. they get sent down to the dorms. Lifers and guys with a whole bunch of time and cells.
So that means you've never seen the dorms?
Nope. I'm not allowed to go down there, just like the dorm guys aren't allowed to come up to the cell blocks. But you've been to a dorm, Nige.
Yep, each unit. I wasn't there at night, but wow, during the day, it is so chaotic. It's this big concrete building with like 100 bunk beds in it, and everyone's moving around. There's stuff everywhere, loud voices, you hear people in the shower, and I'm sorry, it smells like men.
Whoa, Nige, what do men smell like?
Sorry, I'm not talking about the men here, present company definitely excluded. I'm talking about what it smells like in a locker room.
But they have access to all-day showers.
Yeah, okay, that might be the case. But regardless, it still is pungent down there. And it is freaking loud. But don't take it from me. Here's Angel, who lives and sleeps in H unit.
As you can see, I'm one of the few racks that has a window. I mean, it's raining right now, but normally when it's hot, I can open the window and I got a cool little breeze coming through. Versus if you live in the middle of the dorm, you better have a fan or it's bad. And you got a blaring light in your face all night long. I have to sleep with a beanie over my eyes, so it's dark.
We've mentioned this before in the podcast, but it's never really dark in prison.
They have to keep it like that so the SEALs can make sure that we're still here and nothing bad is happening in the shadows.
Well, this dorm, compared to Morph's dorms, is relatively quiet, but like you just kind of get used to the noise after a while. It's just what it is. You just got to deal with it, you know?
New York, do you guys wear earplugs? I mean, how do they deal with all that noise?
So remember, I live in like the condo cell housing unit where there isn't much noise after mm-hmm, 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thankful to God that I don't have to live in those dorms.
Well, we wanted to hear more about sleeping in dorms, so we asked our go-to stand-up comedian, Jesse Ayers, to come down to the media lab and answer Molly's question. We put him in front of the mic and just let him go.
It's an interesting question. See, everything in prison is made of cement and steel. Sleeping in a cell gives you a little privacy and isolates noises, but sleeping in a dorm is loud as fuck. Every time a locker door slams or a domino slaps on a table, it's like a loud crack. When a toilet flushes, all you hear is, whoa, 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 all night long. The roof of the dorm is made of sheet metal, so when it rains, all you hear is a loud ass, whoa.
Okay, hard to sleep at night in the dorm. But what about napping?
Right. Molly was concerned whether or not we took naps during the day. Back to Jesse.
Then, after a long night of all that bullshit, you go eat breakfast, come back, you're feeling kind of drowsy. You're like, you know what? I'm going to take a nap real quick. As soon as you lay down, you hear the PA system start crackling on. Garcia, Jones, Rodriguez, come to the podium. 5 minutes later, class is canceled, Volk Electronics, Witherspoon, go to your ducket all day long. The only way to avoid all that bullshit, all the noodle grooving, all these motherfuckers yelling, cops on the... I just turn on my fan, whoop, put in some earplugs, tie a t-shirt around my face, and I'm like, fuck it.
Next question, also sound related. This guy had a few questions for us, actually. This is his second one.
It's Eddie from London again. It's a question. Why isn't there music in prison playing in the background?
For this question, Eddie, we brought in our co-producer Yaya because he has institutional knowledge on this issue. Yaya's been in prison for 23 years.
And I've been in for 19 years, and the soundtrack of prison has changed.
There used to be an abundance of music playing in the background of prison. A lot of people start getting boomboxes all at one time, and yeah, it changed the whole soundscape of prison.
You would hear music coming out of each person's cell, and it would be like really music that would tell you a lot about that person.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like there would be guys that were like stuck in time,
And when you walk by that cell, you hear just my imagination once again
running away with me. Oh, you know, the other interesting thing about that is how you seem to time travel from cell to cell.
Yeah, you might
walk by one guy's cell and he might be playing rock music. Another guy might be playing rap. Mexican nationals might be playing their music. And so you're getting all of these different experiences just walking on a tier.
Did you ever hear anyone like blasting classical music?
No. I think the classical music guys might have been afraid to play their music out loud. I don't think I've ever heard Beethoven.
No, not once.
There's got to be somebody.
Nope.
No?
I think classical guys may have been classy enough to wear headphones so they can get every note.
Yeah.
But when the boombox came in, it just like turned the whole soundscape in the prison into this mishmash sound. And so you had all of these individuals competing with their own type of music. And I think a lot of people complained about it. I think the COs that walked the tiers or had to sit in the office and hear 100 guys on a tier playing different music at some point complained about it as well, and it became a problem. And so to prevent noise pollution or to stop noise pollution, they started all of these ordinances and requiring us to wear headphones to light.
Yeah, and prison just got quiet. I mean, they don't provide any elevated music, no Beethoven, no Lil Wayne, nothing.
No Tool, Metallica.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody just walk around with their heads nodding and you don't know what they're playing and you're left to wonder.
What soundtrack is in their mind? Like, what they listen to?
It's a great question. Like, yeah, what is it? What would be your soundtrack in prison? If we pulled out their earbuds, what would we hear?
What would we hear? Yeah.
So this guy named Eddie from London, man, he wonders why, like, in prison they don't have no background music, no theme songs. If you could choose a theme song for your life in prison, what would it be?
I've been through the stormy rains, but I made it. I've had my share of ups and downs, but I made it. I made it.
Buffalo soldier, dreadlock rasta. Stolen from Africa, brought to America. Yeah, that joint right there.
Mesa, mesa, mesa que vas a aplaudir. Mesa que vas a aplaudir, se lleva, se lleva, se lleva la niña.
I'm a maniac, maniac.
And Freddy's dead, that's what I said.
We found love right where we are. That's my San Quentin song.
And I wake up in the morning sun, and the sunlight hits my eyes. It's gonna be a lovely day, lovely day, lovely day.
I turned 21 in prison doing 16 to life.
I always feel like somebody's watching me. Quit playing tricks on me. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Ain't no privacy. Oh.
My question
is.
My question is.
Hi there. My name's Karen, and I live in Colorado. And I used to be a sign language interpreter, so I find myself wondering how deaf people fare in prison. That must be incredibly difficult. Do they provide sign language interpreting services for them on a day-to-day basis, or are they totally dependent on lip reading, which isn't easy, and writing notes kind of a thing?
Hey, Karen. Well, we don't have too many guys here at San Quentin that are hearing impaired right now, but in the fall, we got a group coming in, and I know somebody who's really excited to meet them.
My name is Tommy Lee Wickard, and I've been in prison for 18 years.
How did you learn sign language?
My older brother, Michael, is deaf, so I grew up with it. That's how I talked to my brother, was using my hands and learned sign language. I miss my brother bad. But come September, I'm told that 10 deaf prisoners are coming to San Quentin, trying to get as many as I can prisoners as well as officers to know the basic signs for shower, yard, dinner, count, just simple signs, church, and the manual alphabet. Like I said earlier, this is my brother's community, and this opportunity, I'm in prison. And I've got a release date of 2050, so it could be a while before I get out to the community to work with any deaf community. And they're coming here, so it's going to be a reward when I get to talk to the deaf community and welcome them to San Quentin.
So Tommy's going to be there when the new group of hearing impaired men arrive, and he's going to be busy not only signing with them, but also teaching the rudiments of sign language to COs and any other guy who wants to learn.
But that's not all the preparation that's going on. Recently, there was a town hall meeting in San Quentin about the incoming hearing impaired population. Deanna Sardo was there. She works as a sign language interpreter within CDCR, and she told us about the challenges of signing in prison.
And honestly, the language changes every day. I mean, I had to learn all the prison terminology when I started working there.
Can you tell us some of the prison slang you had to learn?
I would sign jail with these guys, and they'd be like, no, we're not in jail, we're in prison. And so they would correct me and show me how to sign prison. And then terminologies like the hole, when they go to ADSEG, yeah. And, you know, 115 hearings and committee and canteen and, you know, just terms that we don't use on the streets.
Is this stuff like Pruno? Did you have to make up a sign for stuff like prison slang?
We just do alcohol for that, but they know.
Of course they know. And hearing impaired guys use those same prison acronyms. So can you translate them for the listener in New York? Like ADSEG?
That's the whole.
Okay, and what about a 115 hearing?
Hearing where you try to get out of trouble.
How's it work?
You sit before a captain or a lieutenant, and you tell them why you're not guilty of a rule violation.
All right, okay. So there's another group at San Quentin with hearing issues. There's a rapidly aging population here, and some of the guys have lost partial hearing, like Norman Wilhoit.
And so ever since you got your hearing aids, are people treating you any differently?
Yeah, they're talking louder. which is, you know, defeats the purpose of the hearing aids. If you'd talk louder to begin with, I wouldn't have to have the hearing aids.
Has anybody tried to bully you since they saw the hearing aids?
No, they feel sorry for me. they start calling me Grandpa, Gramps, Double OG. I said, what's Double OG? Really old?
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just wondering
about music,
religion,
what smells do you, how do you continue education when you're in prison?
I'm a public defender in Southern California. How often do the inmates think about their lawyer or blame their lawyer or think about them positively or negatively? Just curious.
So, New York, did you blame your attorney?
You know, I used to blame my attorney for not being prepared for trial, for not investigating enough, for not listening to me. And when we lost trial, he wouldn't do half of the time with me, Naj.
Oh, God. Okay, but what about now?
Now I realize that I wouldn't have needed a good lawyer if I hadn't have been a criminal in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's hear from Timothy Hicks, who had a memorable experience with a public defender.
I had a dump truck, man. You know,
what's a dump truck?
A dump truck is a fucked up attorney, you know, who don't do shit the right way. This one time I was fighting this dope case, right? And, you know, it was like my umpteenth drug charge, right? Anyway, though, right? So I just said, okay, I'll take 2 years. If you can give me 2 years, all right, I'll take it. So when he didn't go up in there and he couldn't get me the 2 year deal and came back with these, oh, well, this, that, there, and the other, and started blaming all kinds of other shit on it, I was like, man, fuck you, man.
So if you saw that lawyer today, would you give him a hug?
I don't think I'd give him a hug. I would probably just, you know, just say what's up or something, you know.
Did you ever have a dump truck?
Ouch, Notch. Lawyers are people, too. You know, they're just regular people. Some of them might be gullible, like my boy Juan Haynes is about to tell us.
For me, I was guilty. So, you know, even at the time when I was trying to get out of all this mess, felt like the public defender that was assigned to my case did a phenomenal job of trying to cloud the truth, you know, so.
So you never once called your public defender a dump truck?
No. I mean, I was the guy. I was that guy, you know. I had a bunch of lies that I fed my public defender, and she just ran with them, you know. So I was like, I can't believe she went for that one, too, you know. So I felt bad. It's like, how many lies can I build to say I wasn't the guy in that picture holding that bag of money walking out of the bank? It was me.
Could you please explain
outside?
Hi there, this is Valerie from San Francisco. I have a question. So my husband is coming home after 24 years and a couple months. We're MWI, Met While Incarcerated. We've been together for a few years now. I was just wondering if you guys had any suggestions. We have great communication. Everything is great and wonderful. But I know that he gets anxiety sometimes, so I was just kind of wondering what suggestions you had for his reintegration. Thank you.
So, to answer this question, I'm now on the outside with our co-host, Erlon Woods.
What up, Notch?
Hey, good to see you.
Man, great seeing you. And to Valerie, hello, how you doing? Thanks for your question. And I must admit, it's the first time I heard MWI.
You gotta be kidding me.
I've never heard of it.
Man, I heard that
already. I mean, I've heard it without seeing MWI,
okay,
like Met While Incarcerated, MWI as the, I've never seen that. But to answer your question, Valerie, I went and talked to two couples, Chappelle and Tracy and Ray and Bertha. Chappelle did 20 years and paroled from San Quentin in December of 2017. Here's his wife, Tracy.
He wouldn't even want to order his own meals when he went out. He wanted to sit facing the door. What else did you do?
I don't know. I'm listening to you now.
He didn't feel comfortable walking in the mall.
That was at first.
He walked kind of like behind me. It's like he didn't want to take the lead when it came to doing anything.
It sounds like there was another being in that room. What was that little squeaking?
Yeah, that was little Parker Joe. I should have interviewed him too because Chappelle did just appear in his life too.
He sounded a little anxious. Oh boy.
Parker Joe.
Well, speaking about being anxious, I actually hear this a lot, Erlon, that guys when they get out sometimes have a really hard time making decisions.
Hell yeah. Shit, I still have problems making decisions on the menu at a restaurant.
Ooh, that's a luxury problem.
And bigger decisions like a 401k, your medical shit, you know, all that stuff is just issues. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
And you don't have those type of problems in prison because you don't have a lot of choices.
That's so true.
A lot of stuff is given to you or most of the time shit is decided for you.
Right.
But Chappelle also says there's something else to look out for when someone's coming home.
I think a person coming home, you need space. You need your individual space.
Is that like the she shed and the man cave?
Yeah. See, mine was different because I didn't come from a cell, coming from a dorm, so the bathroom situation and all that stuff wasn't an issue, but it was like your quiet time, your solitude that you normally used to, that you still look forward here.
So I totally get what he means. And Erlon, did you have that same feeling when you got out, that you needed personal space?
Man. Prison is so crazy all the time. It's like a gnat at a picnic, just driving you crazy.
Like you just can't get away from anyone.
You can't get away from nobody. Yeah. You're always being looked at. But let's go to the second couple.
My name is Ray Ford. I was incarcerated for 31 years. I met my wife while incarcerated. Her name is Bertha Ford.
I'm Bertha. Like Ray said, we've been married for 20 plus years, and I met him while he was incarcerated. Some of the problems that I encountered, the biggest thing was patience on my part. Have to be patient because their way of thinking is completely different. I will tell you this, when my husband first came home, you know how the guys work out. He was still working out taking a shower, washing his workout clothes in the bathtub, and putting it on the fan to dry. So you have to get things like that. You have to to consider, but it's all good. And like I said, patient, and the biggest thing is prayer.
Hi, this is Maggie calling from Santa Cruz. My question is for both Earlonne and Nigel. I'm just wondering how your relationship has changed now that Earlonne is a free man. It just seems like such an interesting dynamic where Nigel was free to come and go and Earlonne had to stay put. And now that you're co-workers and more on an equal playing field and can share things and, you know, go out to eat and talk freely, I guess. I'm just wondering how your relationship has changed, if at all. Thank you.
Okay, Earlonne, I love this question. Who's going to answer first, you or me?
Well, I can answer this question.
Okay, let's hear it. Well, I'm going to answer too. You're not the only one. Let's see what you have to say.
Well, Nigel cooked better food than what she was bringing in to prison, so now I'm able to eat the food that she cooked.
You know what? For us in our relationship, it often goes back to food.
It's always going to go back to food because I was stuck on you was bringing the same thing in for like 10 years. You know?
Well, I would say two things that I would say about a relationship changing is one is that we get to share food, which I love. And two, we get to travel together, which is really fun.
Oh, yeah. I love getting on planes.
And you know why we're perfect travel companions?
Yep, because I like the window and Nigel likes the aisle.
Exactly. And I think other things that have changed is like I get to see you in all different clothes.
We get to sit up and just call each other like, hey, what's up? What you doing? What's
happening? I know. It's really cool. You get to come to my house and just show up.
I learned that Nigel has the most beautiful view around the corner from her house. I sit there and I look at it. It's of the San Francisco Bay. You could just pull up and sit there and just kick it.
Well, I know there's going to be more to learn about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're going to have more travels. And most importantly, we're going to have many more meals together.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay, well, I'm going to thank you right now. And I am going to catch
head
up.
Head back in and holler at New York.
Exactly.
Tell son I said, what up?
Now, this rendition of our theme song, you heard at the top of the show. And it's really something special.
Yep, that's because it came to us from piano player and Ear Hustle listener, Karen Kitto.
A while back, we asked listeners to make their own rendition of our theme song. In New York, I got to tell you, we got some great ones.
So I heard. Listeners from all over the world sending their remixes using saxophones, violins, synthesizers.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yep. And I got my harp.
That's right. You got your harp.
And not just one, but two. The one you're hearing now comes from listener Cinnabel. This next harp piece comes to us from Linda McNeil. There were really a lot of great tracks that came in, and truly I enjoyed going through all of them.
The ones I heard sounded awesome.
So, we had two guys on our sound design team, Antoine Williams and Rashid Zinneman, listen and talk about their favorites.
First up, we got Kid Mentor, baby!
Yep, say that.
Let's go! He goes so crazy. If that, is that one person? Wait, yeah. Are we sure that's one person?
Check,
I feel like
stats.
That's like America's Got Talent, like a group. But seriously, man, the creativity in that piece, man, was out of this world.
The way he layered the vocals?
Shout out, man.
Fire.
Kid Mental. So dope.
No fire. I like
so,
that.
So beautiful, man. Thank you. Now, this right here is by Anthony Barilla. And this piece, honestly, Absolutely. Because this music is just beautiful, man.
Absolutely. It's tranquil, it's peaceful.
Absolutely.
And it's anticipatory.
And it's very hopeful, too.
He took the integrity of the Ear Hustle theme song and just expounded on it and expanded on it to the point where it's like another level, new dimension. All right, y'all, we got one more.
This one right here, man, is one of my favorite, hands down.
Hands down.
This took me back to the original, man. It got that grittiness. It got that grind.
Filthy.
And this is from a 13-year-old listener.
13-year-old phenom.
And he go by Rudy Van.
Shout out to Rudy, man.
Man, Rudy, keep doing what you're doing, man.
Stay hustling.
You powerful, bro.
Let's go.
Rudy Van, you the man, son. Keep it popping. To everybody else who submitted a remix, much love. And for those we didn't play this time, hold tight. We're going to feature more listener remixes in future episodes.
Well, that's all the kites we're going to answer this time. We'll do another Catch a Kite episode next season, so please keep those questions coming.
To find out how to send us a kite, go to our website at earhustlesq.com.
Thanks to everyone who helped answer listener questions about Life Inside. Angel Villafon, Tommy Wickard, Norman Wilhoit, Deanna Sardo, Timothy Hicks, and Juan Haynes.
And thanks to Chappelle and Tracy and Ray and Bertha for helping us with the outside questions.
Ear Hustle is produced on the inside by me, Nigel Poor, Rasan New York Thomas, Pat Masidi Miller, and John Yaya Johnson.
Our outside producers are me, Erline Woods, and old boy, Bruce Wallace.
This episode was scored with music by Antoine Williams, David Jassy, Rashid Zinnemann, and our listeners.
Thank you so much for contributing to the show.
Aaron Wade is our digital producer. Curtis Fox is our senior producer. And Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia.
We want to thank Warden Ron Davis. And as you know, every episode has to be approved by this guy here.
Do re mi fa so.
My voice don't sound jacked up.
It's slightly off, but it's good. It's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. And so as I have for dozens of episodes before now, I do approve this episode. And this is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison.
Yes. Another one got past you.
Next time on Ear Hustle, what it's like at the end of the road.
When I first arrived, the bus drivers and stuff, they would say, okay, like, end of the road. I looked around and said, like, man, I'm actually here. I am one that could actually be put to death at any time.
Check out our website, earhustlesq.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, see pictures of people on our stories, and it's also a place to buy Ear Hustle sticker packs, mugs, and t-shirts. So please check it out. And you can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at EarHustleSQ.
This podcast was made possible with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
I'm Nigel Poor.
I'm Rasan New York Thomas.
And I'm Erline Woods. Thanks for listening. And just a heads up, our next episode is going to be out in 3 weeks instead of two. We appreciate your patience.
More lawyers need to go to acting school. Had my attorney went to acting school, if she could have just shed a tear, if she could have just been like that dramatic reverse fist to the sky saying, why would you put this poor man through this trial when he's such a decent human being, but all the time I was a bank robber.
Nige, Ear Hustle listeners are the best.
They really are. You're always in touch, letting us know what you think about episodes and sharing the love.
Yep, it's really a two-way conversation. A relationship.
Indeed it is. And if you're looking for a way to deepen that relationship, consider signing up for Ear Hustle Plus.
Ear Hustle Plus. It's a new subscription service that delivers bonus Ear Hustle episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
In addition to ad-free episodes of Ear Hustle, subscribers get behind-the-scenes, off-the-cuff conversations.
We have a monthly AMA, which is Ask Me Anything episode, where you and I answer questions sent in by subscribers.
And seriously, no question is too random or wacky.
Questions like, what's our favorite book? Do we hang out in between seasons? What's the most technically challenging Ear Hustle episode ever?
Okay, Erlon, yeah, those are good questions, but like we said above, I'd like some wackier ones, actually.
We've also started doing episode commentary, where you and I listen to a classic Ear Hustle episode and talk about how it came together, hard decisions made along the way, and where the people in the episodes are now.
Yeah, we did that for Sellies, and it was a lot of fun, so we're definitely going to do more. And Erlon, tell them about that idea you're working on.
Sure. I've been sitting down with some of our formerly incarcerated friends who have gotten out and are doing well. Just basically showing how they went from one situation to a better situation, if that makes sense. Those will start dropping in the Ear Hustle Plus feed soon.
Listeners, we want you in this conversation. Find out more about Ear Hustle Plus at earhustlesq.com/plus or subscribe right now in the Apple Podcast Player app.
That's earhustlesq.com/plus or right in the Apple Podcast Player.
So, what is your favorite book, Erlon?
Sorry, Nige. You got to subscribe for that.
Really?
Yes.
Radiotopia.